All right, there we go. There we go. We got to do it for recording purposes. You know all that good stuff. People might want to hear it online. Maybe. We'll see. All right, so we're going to run hard. Y'all ready? We're going to run hard today. So as you can tell, it's 11:30. We're going to spend some time in here, maybe till like noon. We might stay here a little bit longer. All right, and then after that, we're going to have some games and stuff like that after that. Today's been a little crazy, but hey, we're going to get after it. All right, so if you want to turn to page 629, that's where we're at today in Daniel. We're in chapter 4, verses 28 through 33 is where we're going to start at. And while you're getting there to page 629, I'm going to go ahead and talk about, because when was the last time we were here? It was a while ago. All right, it feels like forever. All right, so this is what we kind of talked about last time we're in here. And this, we'll throw it up. It's the hope of the world. The hope the world needs lives in me is what we talked about, is one thing. And we talked about how Daniel, three times it was talked about that he was this guy that had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of him. He was identified as that type of guy. And we're like, man, I want to be that type of guy where the thing that lives inside of me, the world recognizes, I'm going to give it to him. The next thing we said is that reach for God, because he's been reaching for you. All right. And so we talked about how King Nebuchadnezzar, man, that God was encountering him so many times, multiple times, that he was reaching for this king. And we're going to come to a point today where it's going to have an effect on him today. What we're going to read, we're going to see, man, God is always reaching for us. So we want to turn around and reach back for him. The next thing we said is that God is supreme, right, that he reigns. And what we said about that is that, man, we have to, as Americans, because we have things so easily handed to us, everything so easily accessible to us, is that, man, we have to, like, actively seek after God reigning over us and him being our king, because it's easy for us to, like, let other things be it, because it's so easily ready for us. And then the last thing we said is that pride comes before the fall. So we talked about being humble, right? That, man, if you want to stay close to God, then stay humble, stay low in spirit, right? That God hears those who are humble, that he saves those who are humble, that he looks upon those who are humble. So we want to be those type of people. We want to be humble people. And what we also talked about last week, just to kind of recap, not last week, but a couple weeks ago, just kind of bring everything back to today, is that King Nebuchadnezzar, he had this dream. He had another dream. And in this dream, he was this great tree, right? Talked about this great tree, and you know, he was like reaching up to the height in the heavens, and everybody else, like you said, the birds in the air, everything found shade and found food in this tree. And so what we find out is that, man, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's this tree, right, that everywhere in the land, right, everywhere in his world during his time, man, like, he was the king. Like, he was the man during his time, and everybody else was sustained through his kingdom, through his power. So we talked about this tree's greatness and this tree's demise is what we talked about last time. All right, so the first thing we said is that the tree's greatness, right, we said that this king, he was visibly, his might was incomparable, and you could tell that throughout his land. And like I said, that his kingdom provided protection, nourishment for everybody in that world during his time, right? And we threw up a map last time showing you how far his kingdom stretched. And we talked about how King Nebuchadnezzar, like, he identified himself as this great tree. Like, he was like, I am the man. Like, I am a god. Like, I've got power in my hands. Like, I'm that dude. I'm that perfect king, right? That, I mean, you got all this power and all these people looking to you, and everybody's getting everything they need from you. Like, they need King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he gets prideful about it, right? So he gets prideful, and then we read these two verses. Because of his pride, we said that he meets his demise. We'll throw this up on the screen for you. And in verse 25, it says that you shall be driven, talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox. Dang, that's bad. And you shall be wet with the dew of the heaven, and seven periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And then verse 26 says, and as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from that time that you know that heaven's rule. So, all right, so he was this great king, right? So because of his pride, he meets this judgment. Then that's the judgment that God gave him, right? So he's going to be living like an animal. We're going to find that out today, right? In the beast of the field, just naked out there in the woods, terrible living. All right, but we also said the last thing that we said last week, I think that a lot of people picked up on, was that there's not an issue with being great, right? There's not an issue with being great, but there's an issue with ignoring the one who gives greatness, that gives us our greatness. All right, so with all that being said, we kind of brought back to today. We can pick up our Bibles and turn 629, and we can start on verse 28, and then we're ready to rip. All right, so here we go. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is not this the great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Oh, ladies, don't you just like a man that has hair like feathers and nails like bird claws? That's your typical man right there, right? Yeah, I know. All right, so bottom line for today, this is what we got. Bottom line, be exalted, not humbled. Be exalted, not humble. Be exalted. All right, so we're going to throw up a quick picture because my man Nebuchadnezzar, he was scrolling on his rooftop, and so he has this picture of his kingdom, right? So you look at your kingdom, and if it's looking pretty tight, you're like, dude, I am the man, right? So, I mean, he's got this great kingdom. I mean, even like we talked about a few weeks ago before that these hanging gardens, we'll throw that picture up too, was one of the 7 wonders of the world, and it still is, right? So, I mean, my man has got a dope kingdom, so he's strolling on his palace, and he's just like boasting to himself. I mean, I don't even think anybody was around him. He's just talking to himself like, man, my palace is just the stuff right now, you know? Like, nobody's sweating me right now. All right, so as he's saying, this is what he says. The king says, is this not the great Babylon which I, right? He's talking about himself, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty, right? So this is what he's speaking to himself. It's pretty conceited to say, like, you're talking to yourself, like, you're saying that, all right? So he says this, and as he's saying these words, they're coming out of his mouth. As soon as he says that prophecy that God has spoken through Daniel comes true, right? It starts to happen right away. So in an instant, the thing that he was looking at, right, this great city, great Babylon, he's looking at it like, man, it's so well guarded. It said that the walls around Babylon were so wide that you could drive like 4 chariots around on the wall. Like, so, I mean, nobody was getting into his spot, right? So he thinks this place is just dope, so well guarded. In an instant, everything's taken away from him, right? Just bow, everything's gone. Yeah, I do feel sorry for him. So his great kingdom that he has, right? The people that he controlled, right, that he was prideful about, that he was like, man, I've got their life, I've got their death in my hands, right? So all that's gone. That's done. That's gone away with, right? So we'll say that. And what's that? He becomes insane, which is terrible, right? And you don't just become insane, but, like, you become like an ox, right? Like, that's your animal. Like, you're like an ox. You're eating grass like an ox. And then you get to live outdoors naked in all types of weather conditions, which is not awesome, right? So, I mean, and you would say, man, he wasn't even like a – you know, he didn't become like a lion. He didn't pretend like he was like a lion. My man, he was an ox. I mean, that's terrible, man. Like, this, just eating grass. That's how you're doing. All right, so this is what we'll say. We'll throw this quote up. That the one who thought of himself in godlike terms will become beast-like so he can learn that he was merely human after all, right? So he's going to become less than a man to learn that, man, I'm just a man after all. Is what the lessons that he's going to learn from this. So I couldn't find like a really good picture of a king like sitting in his throne. So I was like, I couldn't find one of King Nebuchadnezzar. So I was like, I'm just gonna find a dope one. So this is what I found. So you kind of go from like this setting right here that we throw up, bow, right? Ain't that a dope picture? Just like, man, if I had a throne room, I wanted to just look like that. Bam. All right, so you go from that to this right here, like you're in this throne room, and then you go from that to this, right? So now you're just chilling, you know, eating grass, moo, except he probably didn't have clothes on. Right, so I mean, you go from such greatness to just chilling, eating some grass. I mean, that's not awesome right now. All right, that's not what's popping. All right, so we'll say this is that Nebuchadnezzar made himself to be more than a man, and therefore God justly makes him less than a man. All right, and one thing that we said coming out last week, which I really want us to focus on too, is that when God gave this judgment right over King Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't to judge him, right? Just to put him down, right? Just to, like, you know, humble him, to make him, you know, it was for a purpose, right? That God's judgment always leads to redemption is the purpose behind God's choices in this, right? He didn't want to just put Nebuchadnezzar down, just to put him down, but he wanted him to find salvation. He wanted him to find redemption, right? So if you still got your Bibles with me on that page, we're going to read those last 3 verses, verses 34 through 37. 34 through 37 on that same page, and we're going to find out what happened to old King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is him speaking. He says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, don't you like, he don't even call himself king no more. He just said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. He does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now King Nebuchadnezzar praise and extol the honor and the king of heaven, for all that his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. All right, so just to kind of take you guys back to where King Nebuchadnezzar was before, like, he had all these encounters with God, and this is the way that he would speak every time he encountered God's greatness. He would say something like this, right? So the first one, he said, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mystery. So this is him talking to Daniel. So after this, the first great mystery was revealed to him. He's talking to Daniel. He's like, man, your God is, he's the God of gods, right? Then he's talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? When they get taken out of the fire right before his eyes. After that, he says, man, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? So again, like, he's just kind of putting it off. Like, blessed be your God, the God of these three dudes right here. And, you know, so he's just kind of like, man, you know, God isn't for me yet. And so now we have him saying, like, he's not even calling himself king anymore, right? Now he's saying this right here. He says, man, I bless the Most High, right? He's saying this about me, right? I bless the Most High and honor him who lives forever, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Then he says again, man, like, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, he don't even call himself a king. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the king of heaven, right? So we get that, like, man, now he's no longer, it's just not about, like, their God, that God, that God over there, the God of these three dudes that have been rescued, is like, now it's like, man, I, like, now you can tell, like, man, he's come under submission almost, right? Like, now God is reigning over him. He's accepted that, all right? And because he does so, right, that he says that greatness gets added on to him, that he gets restored back to his kingdom. So everything kind of comes back for him, which is awesome. So we'll say this on the next one. We'll say that. And he recognized God's authority and the dominion over everything, and there's nothing that he could do about it, right? That, I mean, God turned my man into a cow, right? Like, and there was nothing he could do about that. All his greatness and all his wonder that he was in control of, he could do nothing about God making him think that he was a cow and that eating grass was delicious, right? Then he recognized that everything that God did was right and just. So he was just eating grass like a cow, right, for seven periods of time, right? So that's a person that's coming to in contact with God, that we say that. So now we're done with that. We're going to kind of walk through how can we bring this to us? How can we apply it to us, all right? So if you got your handouts, get your pens ready. We're going to rip through these, all right? So the first blank, I would say is that belong to God. Belong to God. And it's crazy because we were kind of singing about this morning in the first service, talking about just kind of belonging to God and being his. As we were singing that stuff, man, I was like, man, this is on point what we're talking about today. So we're talking about belonging to God. So I want to pose this question to you. So are you in a relationship with Jesus or are you in someone else's relationship and you think it's your own? What? What are you talking about? All right. So we'll say this, that a person's relationship with Jesus, right, what they do with him, when they pray with him, when they worship with him, their daily sacrifice to him is between that person and Jesus, right? So you can't get on that their relationship with Jesus just because you're close to that person, right? So we'll say for you guys in this room, right, everybody may here might have a parent that is serving God, and they might be awesome about it. They may get up every morning, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and be praying, right, speaking in tongues, shakaka, or might be saying, you know, so you guys might experience all those things, but you can't get on your parents' relationship with Jesus, right? You can't get in on that. It's got to be your own thing. It's got to be between you and Jesus, right? Even if you got some friends around you who are awesome, they do awesome things for God, right? Just because they're in a great relationship with them and you're close to them doesn't guarantee that you're in a relationship with Jesus with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be a personal thing, like, that we have to be intimate with God for ourselves, that we can't jump on the back of somebody, what somebody else is doing just because we're close to them. It has to be a personal relationship with us, right? So we'll say this, is that we'll talk about David a little bit. David in the Bible. David, this is the God said about him is that he was a man after his own heart. Like this was the guy that was after God's heart. So listen to him speak a little bit. This is David speaking. He says, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord and a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. So you just kind of hear David's heart. He's like, man, I'm not going to sleep. I mean, he's going to work hard until he was talking about making a temple for God. Like he was like, I'm going to find a dwelling place for him. That was his heart. Right? I mean, this is a guy that's like, man, I'm about dwelling with God. I'm about being with him, right? It was a relationship, a love relationship with God, right? So this is him speaking, right? Again, in Psalms 68, this is what he says. And you just hear it just coming out of his heart like a guy that is so in love with God, right? That's intimate with God on his own. This is what he says. He says, oh, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Zach's going to help me out. Flip that. There you go. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you as in the watches of night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. All right, so you get this. It almost sounds like a love letter that you could write to, you know, to somebody you're like in love with. I mean, like he is absolutely in love with God. Like I'm sitting in my bed. I'm thinking about your words that you said to me, right? I mean, that's something like if you ever been in, well, you guys are too young. If you ever been in love, when you get home, you're like, oh, man, I just love her so much. You can't stop thinking about her. All right, you guys don't know about that yet, though. But, I mean, he's absolutely infatuated with this God of heaven, right? He's like, man, I desire to be in your sanctuary. I love to see your power and your glory. This is a guy who was intimate with God, right? So I would say this, that the one place that the enemy doesn't want us to go to, right, that the one place he wants us to stop us from entering in is in that secret place with God, right, where we get intimate with him, like when we hear his voice, we hear him speaking to us. I mean, he wants to absolutely stop you from going there because he knows what the outcome is going to be, that he knows the outcome is going to be like transformation in you, where you see yourself, right, not as you see yourself, but as God sees you. Like you hear him speaking to you, you begin to hang on to his words instead of other words. I mean, there's power that happens in that secret place between you and God. I mean, and the enemy absolutely does not want you to go there. So I would say for us, man, that man, we want to go to that place, that we want to be intimate with God. We want to be in a relationship with him, right? A relationship requires some things. It requires communication, requires trust, it requires vulnerability, like all these different things that we even say is a good relationship between friends. If you see like a good marriage, all those things that you see just like even like on earth here between humans is the same thing that we desire and need between us and God, all right? So the next thing we'll say is that be faithful to the faithless. Be faithful to the faithless. All right, so King Nebuchadnezzar, right? It took Daniel over 40 years, right? Over 40 years of him, you know, being before the king, being around the king, for the king to come to this point where he was saying, man, like, now I praise and extol, you know, the God of heaven, right? So it took a long time. So Daniel, my man Daniel, had to be faithful, right? So the question I would pose to us is that, man, who is God asking you to be faithful to, right? Like, who around you is God asking you to be faithful to? It might be a person, like, you know, that you want them to hear the gospel. And so many of us want, like, an instant change, that we want people, like, to hear the gospel and be like, bow, man, I'm on fire for Jesus, right? We kind of want that instant thing. But, I mean, as we even see with Daniel, it took him over 40 years of him being faithful, just being faithful to bring the gospel right before him, to show him and him for King Nebuchadnezzar to encounter God. It took over 40 years for this man to come to know God, the God of heaven. So for us, I would say, man, there's people around us that God wants us to be faithful to, and we're not going to see, like, immediate change, right? But us continuing to bring that gospel, that thing that we received, that we don't want to die with us, right? We don't want the gospel to end with us. The gospel that we've received, we don't want it to end with us, that we want other people to receive what we've been given, right? This priceless gift that we've been given, we want other people to receive it. So God is asking us to be faithful around us, even to people when we don't see immediate things, right? We don't know what part of the process are we in, right? In this person's life, we might just be the seed. We might be the person watering. Like, we don't know. We don't know if we're going to see the harvest in that person. But man, if we are faithful, that's what God is asking us to do, to be faithful, right, to what we've been given to those around us. So that's what we want to do, man. And we don't want to give up on people just because we think that, man, they're too far gone, right? You're already thinking of that person right now, like, man, that person, he's too far gone. He can never come back to God. But there's no person that is outside God's reach, right? There's no person that's outside, you know, God's grace. So that it could be, it has to be the same for us, man, that if God has always been reaching for us, right, that if, I mean, if we can look at our lives and say that we're not perfect, if God continually reaches for us, then we want to always be continually reaching for other people, giving people grace, right? His mercies are new every day, man. It should be the same for us, for other people, that his, well, our mercies and grace should be new every day for other people. So that's what we'll say. And the last one right here, is that we want to be exalted, not humble. That we want to be exalted, not humble. Okay. So we're looking at Nebuchadnezzar. The last thing that he says in verse 37, it's not verse 7, it's 37. He says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right, his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble." Right? So, again, we had this king, when he was prideful, what that God was distant. We'll say that. Then when the king was prideful, that God was distant. But as soon as he became desperate, right, as soon as he started eating that grass and was like, oh, my, I'd like to get up out of this situation. As soon as he was desperate for God, instead of him just looking down at people, right, he was actually able to look up and find God's grace, right, out of desperation, right? So, like, I would say this is truth that here, that we are desperate people, right? That we're just desperate people. Like, we are always in need of God intervening in our lives every day. Like, that's just the truth. Like, in the Bible, we're compared to sheep. It's like one of the dumbest animals ever, right? So that's just who we are. Like, we are always in need of God stepping into our lives. And that's not a bad thing, right? That we're always in need of that. Zach is going to click that for me. Chick-a-pow. It's like magic. Here we go. All right, so I would say is that, man, be desperate for God without being made to be desperate, right? Be desperate for God without being made to be desperate. So, man, stay close to God, right? Stay close to him. Be humble, because you don't want to be to the point where you walk into situations and you're like, man, now I'm desperate for God. Like, God, I mean, it's still, that's, if you're in that place, that's still a good place to be, right? But I don't even want us to, like, kind of get to those points where we're like, man, now I'm desperate, right? So for us, I would say, like, man, be desperate every day. Just be desperate for God every single day. And, yeah, without being made to be desperate. All right, so this is James 4:6. This is what it says. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right? So we'll say that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so when I read that, man, the first thing that came to my mind was, I would say, man, the ultimate display of humility. Ultimate display of humility. And that's, we find that in Christ, right? We find that in Christ. And so we're going to read Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5-9, and we're going to find this in Christ. He's our ultimate example. It says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So we have God, right? God leaving his throne, right? Left everything, his majesty, his glory, his perfect relationship with his father. I mean, he left everything. Everything was perfect up there. But he left all that, right? It says that he humbled himself, right? That he put on human flesh, and that he was humble even to the point of death, even death on a cross, right? So we have God, Christ, being humble. And this is what happens right after that. Verses 9 and 10, it says, "Therefore God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Right? So we have Christ's humility, and then we have God's exaltation, right? So we have Christ being humble, humbling himself, and then we have God exalting him, right? And it says that every knee. So every knee means every knee. So even people who don't necessarily believe in God are going to come to a point when he comes back, they're going to see him and be like, yep, I'm getting down, right? And every tongue is going to confess, even for people who don't necessarily believe now, there's going to come a point in time where every tongue is going to be like, man, like you're the one, Jesus. Like, yeah, every tongue, every knee, it's going to happen, right? So, again, I would say for us, man, that be exalted. We don't want to be humbled. And so I would say about this is that, like, God is reaching out, like, right now. That, I mean, as we're living right now, every day, every single day of our lives is a new day where we get to pursue God, because he's already pursuing us. So really, all we have to do is turn around and meet him, right? Take a couple steps toward him, we find him, And that's every day for us. I mean, God has even said in Scripture, man, like, man, get my hand now while it's outstretched, right? Because there's going to come a time where, it ends. You know, it ends for us. And, then, I mean, if we didn't take his hand while it was outstretched, then that's the end of it, right? We'll say that. So, and people will say this. They say this all the time. I mean, life just goes on, man. God hasn't come back. You know, this didn't happen. That didn't happen. You know, it's been a couple thousand years and nothing didn't happen, right? So even Peter talks about it in the Bible in his chapter, in his epistle. He just says that, man, it's not because that God's not going to do it. He hasn't forgotten his promises, but it's because of his grace that he's waiting. Man, he desires that no one would perish, but that everyone would come to the knowledge of Jesus, that everybody would come into relationship with Jesus. Like, he's waiting, right? He's waiting, like, man, take my hand. I'm still going to wait, man. I'm waiting with grace. Like, take my hand. Like, come here, come forth. I mean, so we have a God who is gracious. So I would say, man, I want to be exalted by God, right? I want to be exalted by God and not by this world, right? Because to be exalted by God is way better. Matter of fact, when God exalts you, it lasts for eternity, right? Because nobody can take that away from you, right? But what society exalts us to, that can be taken away, right? Like, even Lecrae says, man, if you live on men's acceptance, you'll die from their rejection, right? I don't want to be exalted by men, then. I want to be exalted by God, right? So I'll even say for me, just tell you a quick little testimony before we leave out of here. Me and Courtney, we went on a retreat with all the pastors last year. And, you know, we all took time to, like, you know, pray with each other and everything. And it came to this point where Pastor Gary, he prayed over me. And he was just, you know, saying some things like, man, I just kind of feel like you've been the guy that's been, like, last. I feel like you've been a guy that's, like, second place and kind of, like, looked over. But, man, God is going to do some things in you, and God's going to do these things in you. God's going to do these things. He sees these things. And so my wife was like, man, that's so true. Like, man, you're always the responsible one. Like, you're always the one that's, like, kind of overlooked by, like, the people that's supposed to love you, like, the people around. Like, I feel like you're always in second place. Like, you know, like, people don't really, like, see you for who you are. And, like, what I told her was that, man, like, that's fine with me, right? That nobody else around me saw those things, but God saw them. And then through another person pointed them out to me. Right. So then I have God exalting me. Right. That I don't, if other people around me, it's okay. Like, I don't need it. Like, if I walk humbly before God, then God sees that he's going to exalt me on his own. Right. Like I said, I didn't tell anybody, but through Pastor Gary, he speaks and all these things come out that are true. Right. That are true for me that I never even said to anybody. I'm just like, it's okay, God, whatever it is. Like, I'm okay being in the background. Like, if I didn't have this mic, like, it would not kill me. Right. If I didn't have everybody's attention, that'd be okay, right? I'm just being obedient to what God has asked me to do. And that's all I want. So it's, again, just like Christ being obedient unto his Father, even to the point of death. But I'm going to walk humbly, being close to God, to the point of whatever, to the point I play the background forever, to the point that I pick up a mop and I'm just mopping every, I don't care what it is, as long as I am being close to God and obedient unto him is what it is, right? And so God sees our humility, true humility, and he exalts those who are humble. All right, so that's where we'll end at. I'll read the responses and then we'll pray and then we'll move on. Okay. So the first one is, man, I want to humble myself and give my life to Jesus is the first one. The second one is, man, I've turned away from living for Jesus, but I want to come back to him. The third one is, man, I want to belong to God in a new way. I want to be after his heart like David. And next one is, man, my pride affects who I am. I want to humble myself before God so he can exalt me. And the last one was like, man, I don't know what I want to pray for, but I want to respond. But like in this moment today that we're just all going to bow our heads and we're all going to pray together. And the one that I'm really going to focus on is that, man, I want to belong to God in a new way. Even what God was doing today in first service, I just feel like, man, it's like, man, God really wants us to be close with him. Man, he wants a relationship with us, right? He wants this closeness with us. I mean, he wants to dwell with us and like we be his people and he be our God, right? He doesn't want this distant thing. So, man, we want to belong to God in a new way. Even if you feel like, man, I'm close to God, man, let's get closer then, right? There's never a point in your life where you're like, man, I'm just too close to God, right? So even for us, we feel like we're close to God, and we can get even closer to him, all right? So we're going to pray that one, especially number three, man, that I want to belong to God in a new way, and I want to have a heart like David and be